Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I don't know how many of you are feeling cleansed, feeling hopeful, feeling excited, feeling pensive, but the morning after Rosh Hashanah, we're in the process, whether you are an active participant, or so you think, or not. It really is an honor to be behind this mic this morning because, you know, I don't know if you know, a few weeks ago I had a health scare, and today after the show, I'm going into the hospital to have a couple of tests done, and it just brings to light the things we pray for. We pray for another year. We pray for Nachas, we pray for love, we pray for parnasa, an income, an adequate income, we pray for peace, we pray for no strife, indeed, we pray for life. So that's why my prayers are taking on a special depth today. So many of us have witnessed the demise this past year of too many friends, acquaintances, to this incredible plague. And I cannot imagine that our prayers are anything other than sincere, heartfelt, and determined. Before we go to our first break, I want to say Boker Tov, Romper Room moment. It's nighttime in the United States and Canada, and they're listening in. Boker Tov, Eretz Israel. Oh my gosh, it's like the middle of the day in Australia, who's listening in. The UK is with us this morning. Good morning, South Africa. France is with us, and what a lovely guest. We have Indonesia listening in. The chat room is open. Haven't signed in myself yet. But if you are listening in from somewhere else, you want to just say hi, drop me a note. Tell me where you're listening in from. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how crazy COVID made the prayers this year. I mean, last year we weren't even allowed to pray together. And this year, I know that I went to synagogue, but I didn't step inside. I brought a chair outside, and it was a miracle. The sounds of the chazan, the sounds of the singing, the sounds of the shofar, it literally blasted over the mountains and pierced every heart. My name is Andrea Simintov, and we come back. More inspiration, more fun, more High Holy Days.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, Pull Up a Chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I just realized, I think the station is on a holiday mode, which only means that some shows will be pre-recorded. I'm on Thursday mornings, and as we know, next Thursday morning, please God, we're all going to be in synagogue and or davening, wherever we choose to pray, and I will not be on the air on Thursday morning. So this is kind of like our Yom Kippur show as well. So as I said before the break, COVID kind of made a strange prayer service. Oh, wait, I just want to jump in. ADD moment. I'm not certain if the chat room is working today. People can usually sign in and send me wonderful, loving notes, never criticism. And I'm not sure it's working today. So having said that, please, if anything in this show kind of piques your interest, something you want to take me to task with, something you'd like me to kind of expound on or share my sources, drop me a note, anything, at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I really enjoy hearing from you, and writing back. Okay, so anything that you're thinking about, let me know what your menu is. Send it to me. Okay. So this year, I was thinking about our praying together, and my stepdaughter at the table brought up a subject that really has always played front and center. She said, you know, this whole parable of this time of year, we have a parable, we tell it to the children, and we say, well, you know, the king is in the field. Hashem is in the field. We can go seek God because he's so near. And this always kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because to me, it kind of smacks a little bit of, I don't know, avodah zarah, idol worship. You know, that's not our relationship to God. God is everywhere. Our children, we teach them at the earliest age where they sing a song. Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is really everywhere. And suddenly, the month of both Elul and then Tishrei, we really have to beat a path to get to God because he's in the field. And it always kind of bothered me. And my stepdaughter raised a very interesting point. She said, you know, the point isn't that, you know, like I find it very cloying. She said that, you know, Jews have access to God always, and we do not. We know we don't need a synagogue. You create a new Jewish community. A synagogue is not the most important place to build. You can pray together in someone's living room, in someone's backyard, transfer someone's garage. It's much more important to build a ritual bath, what we call a mikvah. That is a Jewish community. But we don't have confessionals. We don't have intermediaries. We don't run into the field. We don't confess to a priest or a minister. We're created in his image, and the door is always open. So usually, you know, when a door seems to be closed, we're asked to knock first before entering. But, you know, even that isn't always required. How many of us are parents and have had children barge into the bathroom when we least wanted it? We don't scream at them. We expect it. And we're still there. We may say, step out a moment while I put on my slip, but we're there with a caring ear. The thing about being in the field is that we are all encouraged to join voices and yearn together, sing together, plead en masse. The king in the field is far less a parable about God and kings than it is about people. The togetherness of this time of year. Because if we are not an am, a people, we are nothing. In Judaism, the individual, of course, counts. And in so many ways, each one of us alone is a world. But the whole idea of minyan, a quorum, togetherness, this is the time of the year to remember that the ebb and flow of Jewish peoplehood is indeed the heartbeat of unified prayer, unified caring, unified dan l'chafzchut, giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. Without that rhythmic flow of joint prayer and joint yearning and even a joint address, the king is in the field, we may as well enter a foreign confessional and just hope for the best. That's the idea, that it's something for us to strive for together. Maybe August we're a little lax, July a little lax, January's a little anemic, but somehow the month of Elul bringing us into Tishrei is a group that creates a group dynamic. And that is where the parable comes to play. Something else we came to think about, which I thought was very sweet, I had taken for granted. What do we say in Hebrew to one another? We wish another Shana Tova Umituka, a good and sweet year. It never dawned on me, isn't that a little redundant? A good and a sweet year? Well, it could be a good year, it could be a sweet year, both. What, they like ran out of words? They're running down the thesaurus? Aha. Would I raise the issue if that were such a simple answer? Many of us have experienced things that in our life were ultimately for the good, but it wasn't sweet. There was nothing sweet about it. And there are other times in our lives where we experience things, events, relationships that are oh so sweet, but not really very good for us. So the bracha that we give one another, Shana Tova u'mituka, it should be good as well as sweet, and they should coexist well together, not be separate entities. Okay, we had something here that was a little bit political, but I don't think I need to do it. We'll keep it as a filler for the show. If I see that I need it, we'll call it our stocking stuffer, but we want to kind of stay away from that. All right, so let me just do something here. All right. While we are going to talk a lot about the year itself, I want to touch base. I want to talk a little bit because Wednesday night, it seems so far away. You know, here we are getting ready for Shabbos. And indeed, in the Devar Torah, I am going to speak about Shabbos. But I want to introduce, just a second, a thought about Yom Kippur. Even people who are not Torah observant, most of us from at least this last generation, I don't know what today's generation is thinking about, we knew that on Yom Kippur, what do we not wear on our feet? We do not wear leather shoes. And there's a lot of thought about that. Leather having to do with vanity, leather having to do with wealth, but also leather separating us from the ground from whence we came. But the idea of Yom Kippur, we think of it very often. Again, there's this trepidation, this almost, I mean, certainly we should have concerns. Those of us, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, who look back on this past year, how many of our friends and loved ones that passed on expected that this to be the year of their demise? We get up every day expecting the day to be a winner. We get up every day expecting our relationships to be whole and healing and well. We expect to make our parnasa. And suddenly, there's a whammy. Very often, people say, have a tzom kal, have an easy fast. I've also heard people say, you know, I really can't fast. Fasting is way too hard for me. I'm sure that God will forgive me. I will fast a half day. A half day is better than no fasting, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, one of the things that really excites me about the fast is that we are asked so little in return for so much. And I've mentioned this on previous shows in previous years. Anybody listening who is in business or is connected to business knows that if you were guaranteed a 364% return on a 1% investment, would you hesitate to make that investment? Would you sit and say, no, I don't go for that 364% return. I want a guarantee of more. Here we are being asked to forgo our physical selves, to transcend the baseness of our nature, our lust for food, our lust for gossip, our lust for the media. I just take a step above and refrain from ingesting food. And in return for that sincere tefillah, prayer, quest for atonement, we're told, look at the potential return. I don't know anybody, certainly Jews are rumored to be good in business. People, do the fast. And an easy fast, it's such a small thing we're being asked. Even if it's not easy, let it be a meaningful fast. Let it be a rewarding fast. Let it be a fast that elicits results. So anyway, before we go to the break, Yom Kippur is indeed one of the most important days on the Jewish calendar. What's very interesting is that it is also a happy day. It connects to the happiest day of the year, Purim. The name itself is Yom Kippurim, literally a day like Purim. But whereas Purim is a time of feasting and joy, Yom Kippur is a day when we remove ourselves completely from the physical, not eating, not drinking, no marital relations, no bathing, no leather shoes. Our behaviors have to do with mourning and sadness. the exact opposite. But if Yom Kippur is indeed meant to be a joyous holiday, how can we reconcile this with all kinds of restrictions? When we come back, we're going to start the discussion by asking the most important question. What are we? Andrea Simintov, I'll see you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller.
And I'm Matt Zucker.
Join us for Lighten Up, where we take a look at the week's current events in Israel and from around the Jewish world through a humorous lens.
If you've been paying attention during these crazy times, you know that it's a challenge to parody life anymore. But join Steve and I as we give it the old college try. Not only is being happy an obligation, but life is just too short to take it all so seriously.
So join me, Steve Miller.
And me, Matt Zucker.
For Lighten Up every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Israel, only on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So anyway, we were talking before, you know, because we want to kind of get a head start, a jump start on Yom Kippur. These are not the days, my friends, not between the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's not business as usual. Use it, enjoy it, milk it. So most people believe that they have a soul, some kind of a spiritual essence. But Judaism teaches us that we don't have a soul. We are a soul. The soul is not an aspect of who we are or a spiritual component. It is who we are. Our body really is a container for our complete essence. It's not like I have a hand, a wrist, a knee, mine is an artificial, and a soul. So when we say I, which of course is a word that societally is quite overused, we're really referring to our soul, our inner sense of self. We have a body, we have emotions, we have an intellect. Our soul is pure, it's angelic, it doesn't go wrong. I'm actually digressing from my text a little bit, because the whole idea of speaking about somebody else, speaking poorly about them, dissing another human being, you might think that you're dissing their personality, dissing their taste in clothing, dissing their behavior. But the fact is, you are dissing their godly essence. It is such an obscenity for us to look at other people and to have made gossip the center of our media focus. Something has become very twisted. Our bodies are meant to be merely the tool of the soul, allowing our soul to manifest its will. It's easy for people to forget, as I say, that we're a soul. We identify with the physical body. I know, I too hit the gym, okay? My urges, my desires are ever present. They're constantly ripping at me. We're born into a physical world. Very often, too often, even once is too much to think that we are only what we see. So what is the struggle in life? The struggle that this time of year really brings to fore? It's that struggle to see past the material, past that desire for immediate gratification, the now of our existence, to understand, to really absorb, not just understand intellectually, but in every fiber of our being, to compute that our angelic souls are wrapped in a physical casing that longs for deeper meaning. Yom Kippur is that time, and these days leading up are exactly the opportunity. We've been given just the right amount of days, not too much that it grows stale, enough to have to endeavor in the physical world. We've got to feed our children. We've got to feed ourselves. We've got to beg. Guess what? Some of the plants need feeding. I have a dog that's annoying, needs to go out. Okay, real life does interfere, but not too much. So that spiritual concept of shoes, that when we understand the removing of the shoes, it sheds light on the relationship between our soul and our body. The body uses the shoe as a way of traveling through the world, right? The lowest part of our body resides in our shoe. Any woman in this, listening in this audience, knows when your feet hurt, when your feet are cramped? The way we walk is the way our feet are shod. But the relationship between our body and the shoe is the exact same relationship between us and our body. We are an angelic soul, indeed a neshama. Say that three times fast. Your body is the container, the shoe that allows us to interact with the world, to move around, to actualize our potential should we grab that opportunity. Now, it's very interesting. I just learned this. The Hebrew word for shoe, na'al, also means to lock. It's really crazy. We were talking also about locks on Yantif, not because of anything lofty. One of the doors was locked. Because shoes lock our feet in and allow us to walk around. In that same way, our body locks our neshamot, our neshamas inside, allowing us to control our bodies and use it to navigate this physical world. You know, I sometimes wonder if that's why, not necessarily cerebrally, but spiritually, Israel is a land of sandals. You know, we don't do very well in shoes, keeping our feet locked. Maybe it's something about Jews that need to be closer to the ground. I digress. Okay. So on Yom Kippur, we remove our shoes, which represent this kind of transcending our bodies. Taking the foot out of our shoe represents taking our angelic souls out of our confining bodies. Yom Kippur is the day when we are indeed completely free from physical limitations, including food, eating, bodily satisfaction, bodily connectedness to others. We embrace our angelic selves. Removing those shoes on Yom Kippur is one of those five prohibitions of the day, and they all conform to that theme of transcendence, rising above. Food connects our body and soul, keeps us alive. Fasting can make us feel faint. Prolonged hunger can indeed cause a lack of consciousness and eventually death. On Yom Kippur, we intentionally loosen that connection between that body and soul. We don't want to faint. We certainly don't want to die, but we want to experience just one day living in what we call a remez, a hint, the avak, the dust of what it is to be in an angelic state. So let's see, anything else I want to say about this? Yeah, one more thing I want to say. This experience of Yom Kippur, and again, we have things to think about this week. We're laying a foundation for the rest of the year. While the physical, and those of us listening, we know it can be very destructive if we misuse it. How many things can we do to our body, with our body, that we regret, not necessarily just on Yom Kippur, but we regret the morning after? How many of us have wake up with a cigarette taste in their mouth, or hungover from liquor, or popping Tums because of acid indigestion? What kinds of terrible things we do, or indeed even drug use. The ideal is not to completely transcend the physical, but to rather alter our state, alter our behavior, alter our thinking, and use the physical to reflect something higher. Our goal as humans is not to escape the physical. There are religions that actually employ that way of thinking. That is not Judaism, but to use it as a means of connecting to that which is beyond us. So my wish for all of us, as we ease our way towards the holiest day of the year is to be inspired to fully experience our angelic selves. None of us are exempt. None of us have sinned so much that we do not merit consideration. Wipe away that thought. To experience our angelic selves as Yom Kippur, and then infuse that totality of our spiritual acquisition to our physical lives, elevating our actions, elevating our intentions, and moving throughout this physical world towards our spiritual roots. It will then be time to retie our shoelaces. So before we get to the break, the last thing I'd like to say on this subject is please, please, please don't underestimate yourself. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, he says in his Sefer, The Horeb, do not imagine that you are too weak. Do not think that because you have given way to sin so often, you cannot finally gain the victory over it. If God demands something of you, he also gives you the strength to achieve it. He furnishes every man at his entry into the world with the strength to perform his duty. And you have only to strive for teshuvah, for repentance, for a return to inner purity, to become again what you once were. You are to owe all else to God, but your virtue only to yourself. Therefore, it is that you have the strength to be virtuous. Build yourself on it boldly. None of us are exempt. This is the time, knowing that the king is in the field. Everyone has the ticket. Everyone has that free pass. Do not say, I will not take my seat on the bench next to the king in the field. The king is waiting for you. There are so many stories of those who didn't realize that they were sitting next to the abject holiness and instead focused on the mundane. Nothing is mundane these days. Take off our shoes, take off our finery, reach down, breathe in. We were born in perfection and we have the ability to achieve that again. Andrea Cimento, I'll see you on the other side.
Are you tired of political correctness and the fear that you might offend someone?
I'm not afraid to offend you.
Wow, look who's talking tough.
One has to be tough to keep sane today.
Hi, I'm Alan Skorsky.
And I'm Bayla Seabrow.
And join us every Wednesday for The Definitive Wrap as we interview the most sought-after guests and expose progressive trends that masquerade as enlightenment but actually destroy our freedoms.
We are the No Woke Zone, so buckle up to this exciting show.
Buckling up, but I'm driving.
Sure, you can drive, but I'm the navigator.
Tune in for the No Nonsense, The Definitive Wrap Show, every Wednesday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. Andrea Cimento, pull up a chair. Wow, you know who joined us while we were away? I'm not in the chat room because I am locked out. Obviously, I am a juvenile delinquent. I've been locked out of the chat room. So again, drop me a note, Andrea at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Love to hear from you. But apparently Jamaica joined us, Norway joined us, and Namibia. Very happy. You know, do you know that my son-in-law's mother is from Namibia? Okay, we really span the Hazel, but she's not in Namibia anymore. Okay, so we talked about, none of us, there's not a Jew listening to this program today. Well, just a serving suggestion. pray, demand. It's there for you. You've been given the free pass. Bad behavior, be damned. It doesn't mean it's business as usual the day after Yom Kippur, but sincere teshuvah, sincere repentance. It is not a bleak day. It's a day where we've been given a bunch of lottery tickets. How many of us wouldn't play? Okay. So in talking about the Parsha, this week's Parsha, we discover that Moshe is putting pressure on the children of Israel. Let me just see what my notes are here. Okay. So is his final speech or one of his final speeches, Moshe says, and again, I'm translating, so it always sounds a little awkward. He says, circumcise, therefore, the hardness of your heart. Again, it is the Jew who has to make that first move to accept Hashem. Yet in another place, we hear Moshe assuring the children of Israel, and the Lord your God will open your heart. Here too, it's Hashem who will circumcise your heart and bring you close to him. So I think I'm a little confused here. I mean, what counsel are we to follow? What direction are we supposed to take? Does God come to us? Do we go to God? Hashem, in what I just said, he's really demanding of the Jew, return to me. Circumcise the hardness of your hearts. But many Jews reject this challenge and they cry out instead, cause us, O Lord, to return to you. The Lord shall circumcise your hearts. So the Rambam lays down a fundamental prerequisite for man's striving, man's desire to return to God. This, of course, is Yom Kippur related. He has to first acknowledge his wrongdoing, repent, and resolve not to transgress. The Rambam makes the act of repentance even harsher. In the verse, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say on that day, do not these evils come upon us because Hashem is not among us? Here we have a full confession by the people who are afflicted in pain because our God is not among us. They have not been following Hashem's instructions. The Ramban declares that even this is not complete repentance. From an objective point of view, the demands of both the Ramban and the Rambam are not easy to satisfy. Psychologically, man is not all that honest or all that brave to truly break down and confess all of his transgressions. I know I transgress from my script and tell you each year I struggle with certain things, certain people I really should address. Do I address them fully? Do I address them half-heartedly? Do I ignore it and hope that it'll go away, but God will still bless me? It takes a person with great courage, great faith, to proclaim his sins and concede that he is spiritually and morally corrupt. I don't know about your circles, but I know that very few people have that courage. The Admor of Kotsk, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, proposed a very novel compromise to this above dilemma. He envisions the following dialogue between man and God. God urges him, return, O Israel, to me. You take the first step, but I, Hashem, know that you will not succeed. The demands are many, and you are simply not up to it. Therefore, you, Jew, have a perfect right to say to me, cause us, O Lord, to return. Without your assistance, we are lost. Psychologists and clergy have discovered that the cause of many breakdowns is not so much due to complexes and inhibitions or fears as much as the complete abandonment of hope and faith. You know, my husband, Ronnie, is very, very sensitive to when he hears people use the term, I'm depressed. Because in his life, he has witnessed what real depression is. When we say I'm depressed, very often we do see that little glimmer of light. But to the true depressive, there is no light. There is no hope. an afflicted person often conceives himself as being incapable of returning to normalcy. He cannot cut away despair and hopelessness from his heart. He makes no attempt to return to the life that Hashem intended him to live. But he doesn't realize that if he just makes that little first move, the rest can follow from a completely divine source. You know, the name of this week's, I'm just looking at my notes here. The name of this week's Torah reading is taken from the first word of the Parsha itself, Vayelech. This word signifies movement, the action of going somewhere. The subject of this verb is a great teacher. And our leader, Moshe, really, it embodies him. According to Jewish tradition and the words of the great commentators of the Torah, this Parsha was recorded for us by Moshe on the last day of his presence on earth. You know, it's truly wondrous that on his last day on earth, Moshe should be described as being in motion, going in strength and fortitude to further teach and guide his beloved people Israel. Perhaps in this word, Vayelach, we discover the secret of greatness and manifold achievements of Moshe during his lifetime. How many of us who are still vibrant, still active, still working, or newly retired, or rich with hobbies, feel ourselves slowing down? There's things we can't do. I used to take 7 clients a day. Now, 4 clients is enough, and I need to lie down. There's things I can't do. My mother, Admeyeva Esrin, she should live and be well, is 91. Her decline is clear. She's very, very slow. Things she can't remember. And yet here we have a Moshe who is equally vibrant at the end of his life. You know, he was always going. He's always engaged in teaching and counseling Israel. We don't find in the Torah that Moshe ever rested from his mission or stopped working or striving toward his goal of raising the Jewish people to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Moshe, so to speak, he's in perpetual motion. He's always advancing, going, cajoling, and instructing the people of Israel. Indeed, I don't see anywhere where he ever took a sick day. The Torah records for us that at the end of his life, his physical strength and faculties were in no way diminished. That certainly was, I don't know, it's exceptional. It's a very unique blessing. But that was a gift from God, as all health and all longevity always is. The continued activity on behalf of Torah and the Jewish people was a gift from Moshe to Moshe. Why? Because it was entirely dependent upon his attitude, his commitment, and his vision for himself and his people. Therefore, he's truly described in this week's Torah reading as being a person who is on the move, constantly going towards greater heights and more meaningful accomplishments. There's such a critical lesson for us in this. Anybody listening in, to wake up and not know what we're doing with our day, to actually utter the words, "I'm bored," is in essence defeating who we are and who we can be. It's also one of the messages that this Shabbos teaches us, that in order to return to God and begin anew in our quest for holiness and sanctity, we have to be proactive in our behavior, proactive in our attitude. Passivity, apathy, is that going to accomplish the goal of national and personal return to greatness and holiness? This new year is dawning upon us with all of its blessings. Yes, there will be challenges. We have to face those challenges. We know what's not going away. But we have to keep on walking one foot in front of the other to measure our accomplishments and to keep on keeping on. Life is so precious. It's fleeting. It needs to be exploited, to be in motion physically and spiritually. This is the secret of successful longevity and lifetime achievement. Even the great Moshe is not granted physical immortality, nor will he even be granted all the wishes he had for himself. One final thought. Lying before us is a world of opportunity. The shofar sound at the end is a climax to our efforts to build a better world for ourselves and our loved ones. Wishing all Shabbat Shalom, Gamar Chatima Tova.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.